Right, so today we're diving deep into Genesis chapter 2.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got to say I'm pretty excited to really dig into this. You know, it's one of those foundational stories.
Yeah,
It
absolutely.
was studied for centuries, right?
Yeah.
But even familiar as it is, I'm really looking forward to like getting into the nuances of this.
Oh,
You sent
yeah.
me this FAQ about Genesis 2, and it's got some really interesting stuff in it.
It's amazing what you can find when you really, really dig into it.
Like right off the bat, the idea of God resting on the seventh day,
Yeah.
it seems simple enough, right?
Right.
But the FAQ makes the point that there's actually like a lot more going on there.
Yeah, a lot more going on there.
It's not just that God needed a break.
Well, and that's one of the things the theologians point out is that it's not a break, like we take a break, you know, to kind of catch our breath. It's something much deeper than that. This idea that God created a rhythm for creation, the seventh day, that Shabbat, it's a vital part of creation itself.
Oh, interesting.
It's setting that precedent for humanity,
Yeah.
that we're supposed to have that same rhythm.
Huh. Almost like a blueprint for living then in a way.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's a reminder that we're made in the image of God, the Imago Dei.
Right.
And so we are to really embrace that same rhythm.
Yeah, that rhythm of work and rest.
Work and rest.
Right. That's really powerful, especially when you think about like the way we live today.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
It's always go, 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 you know.
It is, absolutely. And I think this is a great reminder for all of us
Yeah.
that, you know, it's not a sign of weakness to rest.
Right.
It's holy. It's something sacred.
Yeah.
And it can even be a time when we reconnect with the divine.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah.
that's pretty profound actually, when
Yeah.
you think about it that way. And it makes me think about another detail that the FAQ brings up, which is Adam being formed from dust, which is so interesting because it's different from the general creation of humans in Genesis 1.
Right. In Genesis 1, it's like, let there be. And
Yeah.
here in Genesis 2, it's this very,
So tactile.
it's tactile. It's much more.
Yeah, like hands-on, you know.
Absolutely. And I think what it's doing there is emphasizing our connection to the earth,
Right.
that we are part of creation.
Right.
We are of the earth.
Yeah. And it makes me think about, you know, our responsibility as humans is to
Absolutely.
take care of the planet. You
Absolutely.
know what
God
I'm,
above it.
yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because that idea of taking care of creation, that comes up again and again in Genesis 2, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It's a real theme.
Like with the Garden of Eden.
Oh,
It's like
absolutely.
here's this beautiful, abundant place,
Yeah.
but there's also responsibility that comes with it.
Absolutely.
Like with the two trees.
The two trees.
Yeah, the tree of life and the tree of
Yeah.
knowledge of good and evil. They're so symbolic,
There
right?
we are, yeah.
What does the FAQ say about them?
Well, they say that the tree of life symbolizes eternal life, the perfect state of being in harmony with God. Sort of that ideal state, if you will. But then you've got the tree of knowledge, and that tree, I think, introduces this whole new element of choice, free will, the possibility for us to make our own decisions.
And with that comes the potential for both incredible good,
Oh, yeah.
but also the risk of, you know, things going wrong.
Making the wrong choice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that classic setup, you know,
Yeah.
paradise, but with a catch.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a catch that really has had repercussions
Yeah.
throughout history, right?
Big time. And it makes me wonder, how does the FAQ interpret the fall?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because that event has so many implications, you know?
Well, and what the FAQ points out is that
Yeah.
word fall, it's not actually in Genesis 2. It's become this lens through which we view the story, but
Right.
there are different interpretations.
Oh, interesting.
Some focus on the loss of innocence,
Right.
others on the introduction of sin and death into the world.
Right.
So it really kind of depends on how you're approaching the text.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating point.
Yeah.
And it's one that I'm going to have to think about some more, for sure.
Yeah, it's a great question to ponder.
It is. But while we're on the topic of Eden, I was really struck by the description of the four rivers
Yes.
flowing out of it, including the Tigris and Euphrates, which are rivers that we know today.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes the story feel so real.
It does. It makes it feel like a real place.
Yeah, like you could actually go there in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think these rivers, They're not just geographical markers,
right,
like the FAQ says. They symbolize abundance, the life-giving force of creation.
Yeah.
They represent connection. Yeah. You know, everything's flowing out from this one source.
And it makes me think about, you know, ecosystems and how everything's interconnected.
Absolutely.
Which is something that we're really grappling with today.
It's so relevant. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it also connects back to this idea of humanity being tasked with taking care of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
This stewardship role, it seems so central to Genesis 2.
It really is. It's not just about living in the garden. It's about cultivating it.
Right, right.
Nurturing it, working with it, not exploiting it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a different kind of relationship, right?
Absolutely. And again, it's so relevant to the environmental challenges that we're facing today.
Yeah, it's like this ancient mandate for sustainable living.
Right. Exactly. But then, of course, there's the forbidden fruit,
mm-hmm,
that command not to eat from the tree of knowledge.
Yeah.
Why do you think that was such a crucial test?
Well, the FAQ talks about obedience and trust.
Right.
It's about recognizing boundaries, respecting the divine order,
yeah,
and the consequences of disobedience. They ripple out. They affect us all, you know.
It's amazing how one act,
mm-hmm,
can have such a huge impact on the course of history.
It really is. It's like a turning point.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of profound impacts, we can't forget the creation of woman from Adam's rib.
Right. And that's such an interesting story, too.
Yeah, the FAQ really unpacks this and emphasizes that it's about shared essence.
Yes.
Not subordination.
Not subordination. And yeah, and the Hebrew word that's used there for helper,
yeah,
it actually implies strength.
Right.
It's not about, you know, one being subservient to the other.
Yeah, it's a different kind of dynamic.
It is. It's about equality and interdependence.
Yeah, yeah, like two halves of a whole.
Exactly.
Wow. So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
We talked about creation, the importance of rest.
Yeah.
Symbolism of trees and rivers,
mm-hmm,
the idea of stewardship.
Yeah.
And the complexities of the fall.
Absolutely.
Genesis 2 is clearly much more than just a creation story.
It is.
It's a profound exploration of humanity's place in the grand scheme of things.
Mm. It really is. And it leaves us with some important questions, too.
Right.
Like, if we are stewards of creation,
mm-hmm,
what does that look like today?
Yeah.
What choices can we make in our modern world to honor that role?
Right. How can we reflect that harmony and balance that we see in Genesis 2?
Exactly. Yeah. It's something to really ponder.
Wow. That's a lot to think about.
It is.
For sure. So if you're listening, I really encourage you to revisit Genesis chapter 2.
Yeah.
And see what new insights you can find.
Absolutely.
There's always something more to discover.
Always.
Thanks,
yeah,
for listening.
Thanks.